Poor Bilbo spluttered and choked and coughed and wheezed, but in spite of the icy coldness of the stream and the swiftness of the current, he managed somehow to keep his grip on the rolling barrel. The barrels with their dwarvish contents passed swiftly under the elves' palace and out on towards Forest River. After the longest half hour in Bilbo's life, the barrels floated gently into the bank at a bend in the stream.
There they are, and about time too. I don't have to wait here all night.
Let's get them on board then.
Right. All right.
Here. This is a big load. If you're all as heavy as this, they'll sink the boat.
Don't climb on board while they're loading up. The lids are stuck on, all right. Perhaps the dwarves are all drowned or battered to death.
Right away.
The day grew lighter and warmer as they floated along. After a while, the shore sank to river level. The trees ended, and then Bilbo saw a sight.
Lonely mountain.
Far away, its dark head in a torn cloud, loomed the peak that Bilbo had been half hoping, half dreading to see since the adventure started all that time ago. The home of the dragon Smaug and the dwarves' long-lost treasure. The sun had set by the time they reached the lake town of Esgaroth, a town that had been built after the destruction of Dale by the dread Smaug. The boat gently eased into a little bay between the town and the shore, for Esgaroth was built entirely over the waters of the lake. There, the boatmen moored the boat and left wearily for their homes and their beds. And Bilbo set about releasing the dwarves.
You stupid hobbit. I am sure I am black and blue all over.
Well, now, really? Now, look. Now, will you listen? Dwarves, listen. Are you still in prison or are you free? Hmm? Well, I mean, all this moaning and groaning and where's your gratitude?
Gratitude?
I mean, yes. Do you think I enjoyed the trip down the river? Shame on you. Shame on you. I'm only a hobbit. And you're dwarves. You ought to know. You're supposed to be brave warriors. Warriors? I see. Now, listen. Now, you stop all these foolish complaints and let us consider what is next to be done.
Well, Mr. Baggins, what do you think is our next move?
I suggest we go into Esgaroth.
What, at this time of night?
Certainly. Perhaps the lake men will give us food and shelter.
Yes, I agree. Let us make ourselves known. I am grandson of the last king under the mountain. Esgaroth and all these lands are part of my domain. I shall enter in upon my inheritance.
That would be nice.
Come to the gates of Lake Town.
Thorin, son of Thrain, son of Thor, king under the mountain. I wish to see the master of this town.
King under the mountain? Who are your companions?
These are my faithful followers of the race of Durin. Mr. Baggins, the hobbit, who has traveled with us out of the west.
But the master is feasting.
Let us have no more words, or your master may have something to say to you. Come! Let your king enter.
Very well. Open the gate. Open the gate.
Now we shall.
Go in.
Oh, my God.
Quick.
captain of the guard with six of his men led them over the bridge, through the gates, and into the marketplace of the town. From a great hall shone many lights, and there came the sound of many voices. The dwarves stood at its doors, blinking in the light, and looking at the long, crowded tables.
What is this?
I am Thorin, son of Thrain, son of Thor, king under the mountain. I return.
Captain, what name is this? Who are these creatures?
Master, I think these are the prisoners who escaped from the Elven King.
Oh. Is this true?
It is true that we were wrongfully waylaid by the Elven King and imprisoned without cause. But neither lot nor bar may hinder the homecoming spoken of old. Nor is this town part of the Wood Elves' realm, but part of the ancient Dwarves' kingdom, which now I claim.
He speaks truly, Master. Thror was our king before Smaug destroyed the old town. Our king is come.
They you shall be avenged.
The dwarves were welcomed in the town amid scenes of astonishing enthusiasm. Large house was given up to Thorin and his company, and crowds sat outside and sang songs all day and cheered if any dwarf so much as showed his nose.
Yeah, but I was not feeling particularly cheerful. I had not forgotten the sight of the mountain. Nor could I put thoughts of the dragon out of my head.
At the end of a fortnight, Thorin began to think of departure. Autumn was now getting far on. The leaves were falling and the winds were cold. It would not do to allow the townspeople's enthusiasm to cool with delay. But at least one person was not sorry to see them go. The master of the town.
The sooner this dwarf and his followers have gone, the better. Let them go and bother Smaug and see how he welcomes them. Oh, but what if Smaug gets angry and takes it into his head to attack the lake town and destroy us as he did Dale? Yes, the sooner they're gone, the better.
And so, one morning, three large boats left Asgard, laden with rowers, dwarves, Mr. Baggins, ponies, and plenty of provisions. The townspeople sang and cheered from the quay as the adventurers started north on the last stage of their journey.
Person thoroughly unhappy was me.
In 2 days, they rode to the northern tip of the Long Beck, where the river running led straight to the lonely mountain. They could all now see it, towering grim and tall before them. At the end of the third day, they drew into the bank and disembarked, for the rowers would row no further. The ponies were loaded, the lakemen said farewell. Bilbo, Thorin, and the dwarves set out for the regions known as the Desolation of the Dragon.
We all knew that we were drawing near to the end of the journey, and that it might be a very unpleasant end.
All the same, we reached the foot of the mountain on the fourth day without mishap, and without seeing any signs of the fiery dragon.
Thorin!
Yes, Balin, what is it?
Over there, where the river comes out of that great cavern in the mountainside. That must be the south gate that the Lichmen told us about.
They also told us that it was Smaug's front door. So let us make our way to the western face of the mountain and look for the hidden side door. If my grandfather's map is true, the entrance will be high up. So we have some climbing to do, my friends. Come, let us move away from these dark birds. They look like the spies of evil. Come, courage, dwarf, forward!
After yet another hard and difficult journey, their spirits lowering by the hour, the company made camp in a long valley on the western side of the mountain. Day by day, in parties, they toiled up and down the craggy mountainside searching for the secret door. And day by day, they came back to their camp without success. But at last, unexpectedly, they found steps cut into the rock, leading upwards and out of sight.
Oh, this staircase seems to be going on forever. Oh, it's getting very narrow, too.
You can see the ponies down there.
No, I'd rather not look if you don't mind it. Rather a long way down.
The steps are opening out into a sort of ledge. Can we rest here, Tarine?
Oh, we can't go any further, so we might as well.
Can't go any further? Why not?
Well, look ahead. This is as far as the steps lead, to this little shelf here.
Well, then this must be the secret side door.
What must be?
Well, yeah, this cliff face.
But there is no keyhole, no doorpost or lintel to be seen. It is as smooth as glass.
Well, exactly. It's too smooth. The rest of the mountain is rough and pitted. This surface is as smooth and upright as mason's work. I mean, look, even the color's different. It's gray and the rest of the mountain's black.
You're right, Dumbo. This was fashioned by craft, not by nature. Come, my dwarves. Let us see if we can open it. All push, now get your shoulders to it. Ready? All together. Now. And again. Now.
Don't push me.
And again.
Oh, it's no good, Tarine.
Now, don't give up so easy. Again, all together. Now.
Never move. Not if we go at it for hours.
It is solid rock.
Back in on his door.
What now, Bilbo? I said, what now?
What now? Yes. Ah, yes, well, that's just what I was wondering. What now? Yes. What now?
That is just what I
was... Leave him be, Balin. It's getting colder.
Yes, today is the last day of autumn.
And winter comes after autumn.
Of course! Durin's Day.
What's this about Durin's Day?
When the last moon of autumn and the sun are in the sky together. Today is the last day of autumn, and the sun is still up, and look.
Yes. New moon.
But what difference does it make what day it is?
There's the thrush. That was right.
It's only an old thrush knocking a snail against the rock. And it's too quiet, all of you.
Magic is afoot. You remember? Elrond told us the moon letters on the map said, stand by the grey stone when the thrush knocks, and the setting sun with the last light of Durin's day will shine upon the keyhole.
And today is Durin's day. There is the thrush knocking on the grey stone. Now we must wait for the sunset. The thrush is waiting too.
The moon is risen. The darkness is closing in. The sun is sinking fast.
But it's setting behind clouds. How can it shine upon the keyhole?
No, no, look. There's a gap in the clouds. See, the sun is shining on the stone. A pole! There's a little hole in the rock.
Yes. The thrush has gone.
The key, Torin.
Uh-oh.
Your grandfather's key is before the sunset.
One
moment. The key! The key!
Here. It fits! Now, everyone!
push! Look at the door! We found it!
Wait, forget where we are. This is the Lonely Mountain, and somewhere through that door lies Smaug.
Yes, you're quite right, as usual, Mr. Baggins. Quite right. Well, my dwarves, now is the time for our esteemed burglar to perform the service for which he was included in our company.
Yes, right.
Now is the time for him to earn his reward.
Earn my reward? What if you mean you think it's my job to go into the secret passage first? Oh, Torrin Oakenshield, may your beard grow even longer. Well, you can say so at once and have done with it. I could refuse, you know.
No, don't.
However, I don't think I shall. Perhaps I've begun to trust my luck more than I used to. Gandalf often said I had more than my share. So, I think I will go. And have a peep. And get it over. Wait here.
Well, good luck, Bilbo.
Yes, good luck.
Yes. Be careful. Come back safely.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I have the magic ring. I shall wear it, and I shall go to Smaug's cavern and see what he's up to.
Oh, dear me. What a fool you are, Bilbo Baggins. What use have you got for dragon guarding treasures? Oh, if only I could wake up and find this beastly tunnel was my own front hall at home. What's that light? That must be a fire. Oh, it's certainly getting warm. What's that?
Fast asleep, he lay. A vast red-gold dragon. Wisps of smoke and flame thrusting from his jaws and nostrils. His huge tail coiled, and his great bat-like wings folded. Beneath him and about him on all sides of the immense cavern which was his home lay countless piles of precious things. Gold wrought and unwrought. Gems and jewels. And silver red-stained in the ruddy light. There were coats of mail, helms and axes, swords and spears, and rows of great jars and vessels filled with a wealth that could not be guessed. Bilbo's heart was pierced with enchantment and with the desire of dwarves, and he gazed motionless at the gold beyond price and count, almost forgetting its frightful guardian.
Well, I smell you and feel your air. I hear your breath. Help yourself. There is plenty and to spare.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you. Oh, Smaug, the tremendous. I didn't come for presents. I only wish to have a look at you and see if you were as great as the tales say.
And am I.
Truly, songs and tales fall utterly short of reality. Oh, Smaug, the chiefest and greatest of all calamities.
Who are you? And where do you come from, may I ask? I know the smell of dwarves, no one better.
I am the friend of bears and the guest of eagles. I am the clue finder and the ring winner. I am the luck wearer and the barrel rider.
Lovely titles, to be sure. But what are you, thief battle rider? I don't know your smell.
Well, you don't know everything. Oh, Smaug the Mighty.
Is that so? Well, I certainly know that you're here to steal my treasure.
Wrong. Oh, Smaug the Dreadful. Surely. Oh, Smaug the unaccessibly wealthy. You must realize that your success has made you some bitter enemies. We have come over hill and under hill by wave and wind for revenge.
Revenge? The king under the mountain is dead. And where is him that seek revenge? The Lord of Dale is dead. And where are his sons that dare approach me? I kill where I wish, and none can resist. I laid low the great warriors of old when I was young and tender. Now I am old and strong. Strong. Strong deep in the shadows.
Yes, I have always understood that dragons were softer underneath, especially in the chest.
Your information is antiquated. I am armored above and below with iron scales and hard gems. No blade can pierce me.
Truly. There can be nowhere found the equal of Lord Smaug the Impenetrable. What magnificence to possess a waistcoat of fine diamonds.
Yes, it is rare and wonderful indeed. Look, what do you say to that?
Dazzlingly marvelous. Perfect.
Rolling over like a doll at his age.
Look, there's a large bare patch over his left breast.
Flawless! Staggering! Well, I must not detain your magnificence. Ponies need some catching, I believe, after a long start. And so do Burgess.
Thief, I heard you run up the tunnel. It is well for you that it is too small for me to follow. Barrel Rider, I don't know your smell, but if you are not one of those men of the lake, you had to help. They shall see me. And remember who is the real king under the mountain.
Bilbo! Oh. It is Bilbo!
Sit down here by me.
I think I'll just stand here.
Be quiet, you stupid old rat.
Now, Bilbo, have you discovered anything?
Yes, I have. Smaug has a bare patch in his armor, just over the left breast. A champion archer might be able to kill him with an arrow in there.
Well done, Bilbo. Anything else?
Yes. He guessed that we came from Lake Town. He'll be going there for revenge. He also knows where we're hiding, so our only hope is to keep well in the tunnel and close the door.
Yes. Tell me, Bilbo, when you saw the treasure, did you see the Arkenstone?
The what, Sven? Arkenstone? What's that?
It was the dwarves' greatest treasure, a great white gem, the Arkenstone of Thrain. It was like a globe with 1,000 facets. It shone like silver in the firelight, like water in the sun, like snow under the stars, like rain upon the moon.
Bilbo,
come in.
It's Smaug. He's flying this way.
Get inside, everybody. Into the tunnel. Darling, stand by the door. Fly away, old trash, before you're caught. Everybody in.
Yes,
sir. Under the door, quickly.
Oh, no!
We'll shut him!